need a bigger boat.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Life, finds a way.
Welcome back to Spielberg Chronologically. This is the podcast where myself and I'm Jeff, by the way, I should say, and Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. We go through every single one of Steven Spielberg's films in chronological order. And on occasion, when the mood strikes us, we bring Elliot in.
When the ratings are so low, they can't go any lower.
When we have to just say, forget it. No one's listening anyway.
That's right. One guy who listens every week is on, so he's not going to listen to this one again because he's already here.
It's Elliot, our very own dinosaur boy.
Yeah, Dino Boy. Yeah, this one I'm excited to talk about for a couple of different reasons. And I really am excited to hear what you guys think because this is like 2015. And like by this point in my life, Eric and I had already met. We had already worked together and we had already both got different jobs.
Yeah.
So
sure.
Like it was quite a while. Like this wasn't that long ago, but also it was like a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Should
Jeff.
I say what we watched? How about that? You know what?
No, let's
forget
the format.
Let's just do what. No. We are back with our trilogy of bonus episodes revolving around the Jurassic World trilogy. And of course, we started off with Jurassic World from 2015. I don't have it in front of me. I'm just taking Elliot's word, which is something someone
should never do.
Shouldn't do.
Yeah, here we are.
Starring Bryce Dallas Howard, Chris Pratt, Vincent D'Onofrio, and a host of others.
Is she first on the list? Is she ahead of the Chris Pratt?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I was just curious because she's might be. I mean, this is right when he starts to get huge, right?
Right. I was watching the Blu-ray extra bonus features last night. And Spielberg and Colin Trevorrow were both laughing because they cast Chris Pratt off of Parks and Rec. Like he had not yet made Guardians of the Galaxy. He hadn't yet made the Lego movie. And so he wasn't huge at all when they cast him, and they cast him with the intention of having kind of like a newcomer in the part, right? And then those other two movies hit like bang, bang, and all of a sudden he's this enormous movie star, and they were like, ha, look how smart we look, ha.
Yeah.
Well, they tried that before with Shia LaBeouf. It didn't really pan out, you know?
No, yeah. So, and I also think, like, so there is sort of a minor backlash against Chris Pratt, mostly because of, I think of the Mario casting, right? And a lot of people are like, oh, God. And I get it. Doesn't really make sense. That's fine. But how do you feel about him as an action lead? Like, obviously, Guardians is awesome. But he's playing in those movies that sort of thinks he's better than he is sort of hero. And he's really good at it. But in this movie, he plays someone who's as good as he is, right? He thinks he's good. He is good. And there's moments where they're like, your boyfriend's a badass. And I'm like, Chris Pratt just has a certain softness to him that keeps me from thinking like hardened badass, I guess.
Well, like even in the Tomorrow War, he kind of plays the same guy, like a smarter than the average person who knows all of the right things at the right time. Like, you know, this cage isn't going to hold, you know. You know, those dinos, they got teeth, you know. You know?
What?
He kind of plays the same kind of action hero in all of his stuff, I think. But I agree. Arnold to me. Arnold's the same kind of action hero in them, you know. But I'm okay with that. Like, that's...
I think that this is a more, like Jeff is saying, it's a more serious Chris Pratt, right? Like he doesn't go full goofball. And again, DVD extras, he talks about how he doesn't go full goofball and he had to, like, pull that in because it's his natural instinct just to be like, and, like, make jokes all the time. When I first saw this movie the first time, I was a little disappointed because I thought I was going to get full goofball, and then there was no goofball, and I was like, aw, sad times. But I, like, in general on Chris Pratt, I'm down with Chris Pratt. Like,
yeah,
I like this guy. This is a likable guy. And whatever weird bits of, you know, we hate his church, or I don't give a fuck. Like, and you know, oh, he shouldn't be Mario. Whatever. The guy was offered a really cool job. He took the job because it's a cool job.
Oh, I don't blame him. And I don't think that movie's going to kick ass. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I'm going to see it opening weekend.
Yeah.
Like, we're going for sure opening weekend.
100%. Yeah, I'll be there too.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I'm on board with Chris Pratt. Regarding, like, Bryce Dallas Howard, I don't know if I'm 100% on board with her as an actress. I think that she has since become a stellar director. Like, she's a really solid director.
I didn't know she was directing. What did she direct?
Yeah.
She directs a lot of, like, the Disney Plus Star Wars stuff. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of Mandalorian. She's done a lot. And her Mandalorian episodes are usually, like, the better ones of
the
season,
bomb.
Too.
Yeah, she's really good. And like, I don't hate her as an actress. Like, it's not like you and Julianne Moore. It's not, like, that level of thing. It's just not, like, when I see her in a movie, I'm not like, ooh, it's her, you know? It's more like, oh, all right, you know? Like, I liked The Village. That's, you know,
yeah.
One of the
spoilers
more...
for season three.
Yeah. I like her in The Village, let's say.
The Village. She's excellent in The Village.
Yeah. But realistically, like, I don't know if she's that present of a screen presence to really, I guess I don't have enough evidence to, like, really have that big of an opinion on her, right? Because, like, there's The Village. And then there's
Black Mirror.
This
the Black Mirror episode.
The Black Mirror episode was interesting,
it's a pretty good
and
one.
She was good. She was kind of, like, unlikable in that.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
her,
like,
characters.
What else? What else has she done? Right? Like,
Gwen Stacy.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Barely.
She was. Yeah.
Yeah, barely Gwen Stacy
for, like, a minute.
No, Bryce Dallas Howard is someone whose name's on something. I go, yep, I'll watch that because I like her, and maybe
like
it's eye
dad.
Candy.
I love her dad.
Okay.
What? Ron, you're not a Ron Howard guy?
Yeah.
Oh, whenever I think of Bryce Dallas Howard, I always think of Ron Howard. I always think of his monologues on
Arrested Development.
I always get to that.
Yeah, I do tune in for Bryce Dallas Howard, and specifically because of The Village. I thought she was so excellent in that. And you know, she looks good.
Yeah, I mean,
so do you guys have any? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it's been kind of like a selective career, right? Because The Village was a good 10 years before this, and then she's just gone for a while, and then boom, she's in the biggest movie of all time, right? Like it's kind of forgotten now because it's 10 years later. What a gigantic hit this movie was! Like, this movie was ridiculous. It set all-time records for opening weekend. It made $500 million on its opening weekend.
In 2015.
$500 million in one weekend, which is just, like, insane. That's like Avengers Endgame level, like,
right,
insanity, right? And then it went on to become the fourth highest grossing film of all time, which is, like, bonkers. When you watch this movie, does it feel like it deserves to be the fourth highest grossing film of all time? Like,
Avatar doesn't deserve to be the first. So, I mean, what are we talking about?
Bold statement.
Shots fired.
Yeah,
what do you mean shots fired?
Look, I'm not a big Avatar
guy. How many times
do
you guys go
wrong
back and watch Avatar?
Irrelevant. Irrelevant.
Why is that irrelevant? I think it deserves to be
it
because
it
got
once,
more.
And it's still the biggest movie ever. Like,
I
that's how many people watched it one time.
People went to the movie theaters and watched it, and it sold more tickets. So sure, it deserves to be. But if we're talking about quality of film,
Okay,
no,
well,
it's not a good movie.
Oh,
it's
a really
fine.
Good movie. It's
I don't
a good
think
movie.
It's a.
It's
yeah,
a good
yeah
movie. I don't think it's a bad
anyway
movie, James Cameron chronologically.
Oh, please don't. I can't. I cannot. There's only, like, two of those I can listen to, man.
There's only, like,
six
movies. It's not like it would take
yeah
that long.
Yeah, you got two Terminator films in there, right? I mean...
Oh, and Aliens is in there? Oh. And The Abyss
then
is in there?
You'd have to do the bonus. You'd have to do the bonus Aliens.
And the bonus...
You have to do the bonus
Terminators.
Terminator ones. Those get real rough real fast.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back on Dinosaur Island. So
what's your history with this?
That's, like, what I was going to ask.
Yeah,
is
this, like, an opening weekend kind of thing for you guys?
I think I saw it opening weekend. I definitely saw it in the theater.
yes, opening weekend for me, took my two younger sons, cautiously jazzed about it. Yeah.
I was super excited for this movie. This is one of those movie trailers that I probably watched like a dozen times just to hype myself up. And this was 2015, so my wife and I have been married for like almost four years at this point. We were still pretty poor at this point, and so movies were like a thing we did pretty rarely. We just didn't go out. We like stayed at home and watched Netflix. So this movie came out, and I did not see it in theaters. And I remember being super bummed about it. There must have been something about it. And then it came out on DVD, and I didn't buy it right away. I waited. What happened was my wife bought it for me for my birthday, which was in January. So like it had come out like probably in the fall on DVD, and I didn't even get it till then. And then we probably waited 4 or 5 months before we watched it.
What are you doing? You went from super hyped to just not watching it for a year?
I was super excited about it, and then it just kind of like came and went, and I don't know what it was, but we never watched this in theaters. We watched it on DVD, and this was my second time watching it.
What? You watched it once? You watched it once?
I watched it once on DVD, and then I watched it again this morning, and that's the only time I've ever seen it.
So
it's crazy.
When you guys saw it the first time, what was your react? Did you walk out being like, hell yeah, that was a good Jurassic movie? Or were you bummed?
I was bummed. I remember thinking like, oh, this movie did not do what I wanted it to do. You know, like it didn't recapture the Jurassic Park magic after waiting all this time. Like there were aspects of it that I thought were neat. But I just didn't, it didn't capture me, you know? That said, I've come around more on it. I think I like it more now than I did when I first saw it. So,
I saw it after all of the hype had died down, right? And this movie made a bunch of money. It was super well received. So I was super excited to finally watch it on a Saturday night. We watched it and I remember being like, oh, okay. I don't know what they're going to do with the next one because, like, the island's gone again, you know? It was fine. I was like, oh, it's okay. And then today, I actually watched it. I watched it by myself. I got up early, sat in front of the TV and watched it just myself. And I really liked it. I was like, oh, why was I so mid on this movie the first time?
Same.
That being said, I don't need to watch it again. I don't feel like I'm like, oh, I'll watch it again in like another 5 to 10 years, maybe.
Yeah, I said to my wife while we were watching, I was like, this is actually a little better than I remember it being. You know, like it. And I probably you're gonna make it there.
I said hook.
Oh, I still have some pretty big problems with it, but on just like a ground level entertainment, you know, like just ground stakes entertainment level, I was entertained the entire time. Yeah, you know, like it was pretty good, and it had some really good like action sequences. I've always really enjoyed this gyrosphere bit, you know, like I think that's the Jeep moment, right? Like the really like that's what's her name on the plate glass in The Lost World. That's that moment in this movie, and I think it really pulls it off. I always love a monsters go crazy and attack huge crowds scene. And so the pterodons coming through and that one enormous one, you know, like sliding on the ground. And like
the one guy who saves his drinks. You see that?
There's the two margaritas. Yeah.
That's Jimmy Buffett. He
is it really? Yeah.
That's awesome.
He cameoed.
I didn't notice that though. That's funny.
I know that's even two margaritas. Jimmy Buffett makes sense.
That's great.
I saw it in theaters. I enjoyed it. Like, I obviously Jurassic Park 1 will never, ever be topped. Ever.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. And I didn't like Lost World. I actually thought that it was the weakest of the original trilogy. 3 wasn't that great to begin with anyway. So when 4 comes out and I'm enjoying it in the theater, and I go, you know what? That's the second best Jurassic movie. Now, I've rewatched it. And I don't know. I feel like it's on the same level with the other three non-first ones. But I wasn't disappointed. There's some really great things. Some of the set pieces are amazing. The Mosasaurus is awesome. Like, that is, they always try to heighten it with these made up dinosaurs and shit going forward. And the Mosasaurus is like the best thing. And there's the moment in the movie when it comes up and eats the shark and the teen boy is on his phone and he's like, oh shit. And he wakes up and he's like, okay, this is cool. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, the Mosasaurus is so awesome. And I think way better than the Indominus, because the Indominus is just another T-Rex, and that's like, who cares?
With Velociraptor in it, thank you.
Yeah,
and,
whatever.
And
like,
camouflage.
Who didn't see that coming?
And camouflage, yeah.
Like, who didn't see, oh, that's got raptor in it. No shit, it looks like a big-ass raptor.
I like the Indominus, actually, and I liked it more this time than in the past. Like, I bought into it a little more, because, like, I think that the Indominus is like directly tied to the themes of the movie, and I think it's more successful than the Spinosaurus or whatever the hell it was in the third movie.
But the Spinosaurus is a real dinosaur,
right? Well, that's the point is that it's not a real dinosaur. Like it's kind of a commentary on the public's need to create bigger, badder, rawr, big
teeth,
big scary, you know, and it's like that, I think, is the biggest like theme throughout the movie, is like how these corporations bend to the will of the public and like kind of keep pushing the envelope further and further and further, sometimes to their own detriment, right? It's very meta when you think about it, because it's happening in the movie, but it also is what the movie itself is doing, right?
Yes.
Like the characters in the movie are creating this big dinosaur to wow the public and reignite the fan base. But then the movie itself is also inventing this dinosaur to, you know, re-engage the public. And, you know, and so in that way, I thought it was interesting. And not to mention, I just think that it is a like stronger presence on screen than the Spinosaurus was. Like, I just think it's neat. Like, I think it's neat the way it comes out of camouflage, you know, and all of a sudden it's just there creeping through the, like, I liked it. I feel like a dumb idiot saying that, because like in the past I was like, oh, that thing was stupid. But this time when I watched it, I was like, I kind of like this big dumb dinosaur. Like, this is kind of cool, you know? And it just wrecks shop. Like, it absolutely tears through dudes like tissue paper. And I kind of liked that, too.
Well, that's one of those things that I have, the older I get and the more you learn about, like, actual dinosaurs, like, the whole feather thing, right? I thought the movie did a really good job, and I must have missed it the first time, where they, like, even reference, like, the public doesn't want feathers on their dinosaurs. So we're not all of the dinosaurs are fake dinosaurs. It's not just the new one, it's all of them. Like, that's what people want. And I saw that, heard that, and then it made me think of the woolly mammoth thing. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but like, they're literally trying to make a woolly mammoth right now.
Oh yeah,
like,
I've heard
in real
that.
World, you know. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's just kind of like the woolly mammoth thing. Like, they're literally just taking like the elephant DNA and shoving it into woolly mammoth DNA and making woolly mammoths. I was like, they're literally doing that now.
This
Jurassic
is
crazy.
Park, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they are doing. So like, to me, because I had just seen that, I don't know, within the last month or two, I was like, oh, like, this is real. This is a documentary foretelling of what we need to be aware of when these woolly mammoths come.
Right. Saber-toothed tigers too, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't hear about that one. That's even cooler, though.
Madness. Yeah, wow, do we really need saber-toothed tigers running around?
We are not taking the warning that Jurassic Park presented us so many years ago.
Yeah, and so many different times, too. Did you guys notice that this was a Christmas movie?
Yes, I think.
No, I did not.
There's Christmas music going on
at the very beginning.
Airport.
Oh, really?
No. Like, yeah. I was like, what the heck? Is this a Christmas? This is, now I can watch this like every December 25th?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
The diehard rule. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you guys, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
No, you're up.
What do you guys think of the park itself?
Like, I love it. I think the idea, the premise to say, where do we go from Jurassic Park? Is to say, what if we've got a park, it's established, it's successful, it's safe. and start there, I think is the correct move for making a sequel. And this park looks awesome. I would want to visit that park because those you get to ride, drive around a ball, get out of town. That would be amazing.
Yeah,
when even the technology for the arena, where like they lower the arena to like see underwater, like all the technology is pretty cool.
That is so dope. That when you go underwater to see the Mosasaurus, that is sick. Yeah,
it's like the ultimate expression of John Hammond's dream, right?
Yeah,
and when you think about all of the work it must have taken to get from here to there, right? Like they had to send. Like that first team of dudes that they sent in Lost World, it didn't go well. So they tried again. They sent another team of dudes and captured all those wild dinosaurs because it's on the same island, right? So they captured all those wild dinosaurs, kind of penned them off somewhere. They were successful with it. They learned how to take care of them. And then they built this giant infrastructure and, you know, like all these rides and all this stuff. They learned, they hired handlers and they turned it into like SeaWorld, right? Like, or like a really high-end zoo.
SeaWorld is the right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, a huge act of hubris, but also a massive effort on the, the part of these evil companies. And, like, it's
well,
just,
and if they don't
impressive.
Make the Indominus, they've been successful, right?
Right.
You know, They even say, hey, a worker died. It was bound to happen eventually, which gives me the I infer from that, hey, no one's died at this park. You know, their safety is probably pretty good, you know?
Oh, yeah. This movie could have been prevented had that one guy just not opened the gate.
Yeah.
You know, like this was a totally preventable incident.
Or if before they run off in panic, they go, hey, check the tracker.
Yeah. Why don't we go into this cage without checking the tracker?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So big stupidity. Even Owen is dumb enough to go in there. And he's supposed to be the smartest one. So
You guys, chaos theory. Come on now.
Chaos theory.
Chaos theory. You know, nature finds a way.
No, I mean, yeah, there's no Ned out there being that agent of chaos in this film.
You're right.
I'm about to say Indoraptor, but that's next time. The Indominus is the agent of chaos. And, you know, so I guess chaos theory, but
Henry Wu maybe is the agent of chaos, right?
Probably likely.
Or the company that's giving him his commands. Is.
What a great villain he is with that sweater, that turtleneck sweater going. Like, he just looks like Dr. Evil, right? Like, you're just like, this guy's up to some funky shit. Like, we should be watching this motherfucker 24/7.
Yeah. And so he's like the only returning cast member, I think, from the earlier films.
Him and the T-Rex.
The T-Rex.
T-Rex reveal is probably one of my favorite parts of the movie because they purposefully. They go to the T-Rex paddock and you can't really see the T-Rex. It's behind all the kids watching it eat the pig or whatever. And then you finally get it at the end and it's like an old friend. And I remember sitting in the theater being like dawning on me. I'm like, oh yeah, the T-Rex hasn't been in this movie yet. Like, and thinking that's great. They really did a great job of giving you enough T-Rex to be like, he's here. And then, I never got to the part where I was like, where's the damn T-Rex? And then he shows up. You're like, hell yeah. It's like a cast member from, you know, like another superhero jumping in your Marvel movie. And you're like, oh yeah, he's here. I really appreciate that.
I love when they're at the T-Rex paddock, they're doing the thing with the goat. Right. From the first movie that everybody found so horrifying, you know, and a T-Rex doesn't want it. He wants to hunt, you know, and so they're doing the thing where they're feeding him the goat. And the older kid is so bored by the goat thing that horrified everybody in the first movie that he just takes a call and wanders away while the T-Rex is eating the goat. Like, all of this is so old hat to these people. You know, it's like looking at the hippos at the zoo or something, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was a really kind of funny and clever way to show, like, how this is just, like, this is just the reality of this world, right? This is just, you know, another day at the zoo for this kid.
How did you guys feel about the two kid actors? Because I thought, like, the older boy played, like, the older boy who's, like, into girls. and the young kid who is a little autistic, you know, counting teeth and knows all the facts. I thought they were played pretty well for what they were.
I think they're the strongest part of the movie human-wise. I think that their characters are the most fleshed out, and they're the ones that I actually care about the most. Like, if Owen and Claire get eaten, hey. But there's like a story behind the kids going in, and much like Spielberg's films, divorce is a theme. It's, you know, even when he's not around, somehow it squeezes in. And I think their story, the older boy coming around to be a good big brother, works for me, right? You know, the when his little brother's bummed, he's like, hey, let's go on an adventure, you know? And it works for me. And one thing I'll say probably is going to be true in the next two movies is the thing that Jurassic Park gets right that nothing else has gotten right since is the characters and the networking of those human characters and their relationships. And they're all kind of, there's a line that connects all of them together, right? You know, they each have their relationships with one another. And in the other movies, it's just kind of like, who cares, right? I mean, in my opinion, I just think they suck in two and three. And in this, they're not particularly great, but I think the two kids are probably the best characters and maybe the main characters of the movie.
I agree. I think it's another like stellar Spielberg kid performance thing. The younger one in particular, the old one's not bad by any means, but the younger one in particular pulls off almost Lex levels of fear. You know, there's one scene where that kid cries, and it's kind of hard to describe, but he does the most realistic cry where if you look at him sideways, his jaw like goes back into his head. He's like totally like just weeping because he's so afraid. And I was like, damn, that kid really looks like he is freaked out. You know, like I want to give that kid a hug. Like he is really fucked up about this whole thing. And like it really goes a lot to like sell the situation, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I like the relationship between the kids. I like how they were both kind of like at Aunt Claire because she's such a like, you know,
let's get into this. Okay. So let's talk about some things that suck. Who the fuck does this family think it is that Aunt Claire owes these kids anything at all? Right. They play it up as one of those early 90s dad who works too much storylines. You don't spend enough time with your nephews. I run fucking Jurassic World. Like, I don't know. It just felt like such a unnecessary and also unrealistic plot choice.
Well, like, especially because she hadn't seen them in like 7 years, right?
Yeah. We're going to send them and you're going to watch them.
Well,
okay.
So I had assumed.
And then they're mad when she's busy. You sent them to my place of work. I still have to work. And so Eric and I had a discussion about this on a past episode. I think it was Hook even, where he's like, he more takes the side of the dad. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm more on the side of dad could spend time with his kids and he should. But in this, I'm like, she's the aunt. She didn't have these kids. She has no responsibility whatsoever. You went and had kids. Like, and if she chooses to be a part of the kid's life, great. You know, if not, hey, go on. You know, and I have aunts and uncles. I have one aunt who actually is involved in my life and cares. And I don't have any expectations of her having to make sure she calls and tells me she loves it. It's not her job, or you know what I mean? And it just feels crammed in, you know?
That is a really good point. And I didn't really think about it in terms of this movie.
Well,
but you are 100% correct. Like my relationship with my aunts and uncles is damn near non-existent. Really? Like there are some that I haven't seen for years, you know? Yeah. And you know, like it's always friendly when I see them, like, hey,
yeah,
how you been?
There's
you
nothing.
Know, like, what's up? But I like don't call them or anything, you know, like sometimes we see them around the holidays and stuff. But yeah, you're right. Like, yeah, the expectation that she be more present in their lives is really kind of shitty. Like she's off having a really great career.
Yeah.
that should put her in jail by the end of this movie. More on that later. It is shitty. You're right. They should not expect anything from Aunt Claire.
Right. Well, it's not her job. I mean, like, she sets them up with, like, passes to this park. They get to stay in this badass place. It's dope. Like, if my aunt, who I hadn't seen in years, sets me up at a hotel at Universal Studios and I get a fast pass to all the rides, good enough. You've done your aunt duties for the year. I have nieces and nephews, and there are times where I don't get on the phone with them that much. We just don't have that kind of relationship, and that's okay. I didn't birth them. I owe them nothing, but I choose to be a part of their lives because
you
we're
didn't
family.
Birth your aunts and uncles? What are you talking about?
No, my niece and nephews.
Oh, okay. Nephews.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, and like my kid, you know, I don't.
He
have
didn't
any,
birth that one either, though.
Yeah, so. That one I didn't do well. I had a hand in, but he, you know, my sister and my brother, they may or may not choose to be a part. My brother bought Teddy a gift so he can make like sprites and stuff on his computer because it's a shared interest. Hey, cool, man. He doesn't owe him anything. You know, like if you want to buy him a Christmas present, great. I don't know. It drove me nuts because Aunt Claire is treated so unfairly in this movie when it comes to her relationship with her nephews. I'm watching your stupid kids while I'm running this $1 billion industry because you have to go get a divorce. I'm being the best possible babysitter I can be considering my career. Like, it'd be different if she had her own kids she was ignoring because those are her responsibility. But in this, it's like, I'm doing you a favor. He's, 17? That kid is old enough to take care of his little brother. They don't even need the little maid around or whatever.
Fish meat.
I always saw it as the parents were supposed to go with the kids, and then the divorce kind of happened, and work happened, and so they just were like, we'll just send the kids away.
Yeah.
And let the aunt deal with it. That's how I saw it in my head.
I could see
so
that
I saw
still.
That she kind of like was like not even like going to even be part of like maybe having dinner with them. You know, I always like saw that as like a thing. And then she's like, oh, well, now my sister and her stupid husband aren't coming. Now I have to deal with this. I'll just put my assistant on it because I don't have time to deal with it because the owner, the CEO of Jurassic World is coming the same time that my stupid nephews are coming. And I don't have time for these kids.
And I have a corporate presentation.
She's busy. You know? It's not like, and it's one thing to put your career above your family when it's your own kids. But if she is a independent woman with no children and wants to pursue her career, is it her responsibility to deal with your brats?
Counterpoint. Claire is a complete piece of fucking shit.
No, she's autistic. Just like her nephew. They're
what?
Like the
she's
same.
Autistic.
Dude,
the
way that they rattle.
That?
The way they rattle off those, like, all of that information kind of stuff is so, like, exactly like what my wife does with the same kind of thing. She knows all this weird stuff about the dinosaurs that she has no business knowing, right? She knows all the business weird stuff, but, like, she does all these weird mannerisms and, like, the way she, like, approaches, like, anything is very like on the spectrum, just like her nephew to me. I was just like, oh, they are related because they are like that same weird, like they have that same weird thought process of how like they dealt with stuff. I'm like, oh, that's very like light on the spectrum thought processes.
Maybe you are like more tapped into that than I am. I didn't get that at all.
I'm not necessarily talking about
that side of things. I'm talking about her decision-making process, which results in tens of deaths on her stupid island. Like, she's in charge. She makes decision after decision, which results in, like, lots of people being dead.
It's her weird logic. It's her weird logic that does that. Like, it's her head logic she has in her
greed.
Head.
She's a corporate shill. She's like, I can't close the island because then we'll never reopen. I'm just going to put everybody at risk in hopes that this dumb plan works.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, she is a piece of shit. Like, she is a corporate shill. And as opposed to the lives and safety of both her staff and all the 20,000 guests at the park, she's looking at the bottom line and what's going to happen, you know, to them monetarily. If, you know, so she is going to make the decision that's going to protect the company instead of protect all the people, right? Like, I 100%, and it has always bothered me about all of these movies, because every time I see her on screen, I'm like, that bitch should be in jail. Like, she should be in, like, some international tribunal, because she has, like, seriously screwed the pooch. Like, she has, like, she's like the train guy, the East Palestine train guy.
Oh,
hold
my gosh,
that motherfucker responsible. He made decisions, and now this whole city is fucked. You know, like, she's like that level worse. She's worse. She's worse than the train guy. Like, she absolutely kills these people. She kills the people.
It's so realistic,
she is responsible
though.
For the deaths of the... It's realistic until
That's
she kisses Chris
part.
Pratt at the end and they disappear on a boat. Somebody should be calling her off in handcuffs at the end of this movie. Kick off your heels and
there
walk the fuck to jail.
There would definitely be a government inquiry. But then again, he's not. It's in Costa Rica, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how the
no
laws work there.
Charges.
So
well, I mean, there is a government there, though. Like, I'm sorry, but if Disneyland killed like 40 of its staff and 20 guests, like,
which they have,
there would be problems, you know. Like, and instead, it's all like, let's just get on a boat. Let's stick together for survival. Which leads me to the bullshit romance in this movie.
Yes.
What the ever-loving fuck is going on with Chris Pratt and Claire? Because that's some hot garbage.
It's like, the trauma, man. It's trauma.
It's the
trauma bonding.
The pterodactyls are coming down and they're eating people and they run to each other and kiss.
Yeah, let's have a kid.
Like, right then?
Yeah.
Like, what the
hell?
Hey, man.
Some people have kinks. Trauma. You know? And I just...
And
you know,
Jeff is here for that. That's right.
You see all those people get eaten by pterodactyls? touch my parts. Like,
okay, stop grunting. Good God.
It's
disgusting.
Terrible. It is terrible.
It is stupid.
It is so fucking stupid. They had one date. It didn't go well. Chris Pratt inappropriately hits on her and it's like, hey, bitch, you want to come in my bungalow? You know? And then, like, he goes and does the thing, and they tromp around in the woods for a while with zero chemistry or romantic interest. Zero. There is no hint that any sort of relationship is building between them other than, like, the professional let's survive together thing. And the next thing you know, they're making out during the pterodactyl attack. Then it disappears again. And then in the end, they're like, let's stick together for survive. It's nonsense. It is nonsense. It's a crazy, dumb movie romance wedged into this film for no reason whatsoever. Didn't have to be there. Doesn't make sense. She's going to jail. He's going to be lonely. I just really, really, really dislike it.
Okay.
It
don't disagree.
It doesn't add anything to
it. And I think it is one of the weakest parts of the movie, not just their romance, but really all the dialogue around their one-on-one interactions. That scene at the bungalow is awful in its dialogue. I couldn't stomach it.
Even the scene at the waterfall, right? Where she's like, let me tie my shirt, and now I'm ready for business in my heels. Like, it's just so silly. It's just silly.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Okay, cool.
It didn't bother me as much as it feels like it bothered you. Whereas the whole my aunt must take care of my children thing bothered me a little more. So we got some new dinosaurs. We got the Ankylosaurus, right? That's a first. We got the Mosasaurus. What's your favorite dinosaur in the movie? Mine's the Mosasaurus. Boy, you guys are thinking hard about this.
I mean, the T-Rex part of the end was kind of cool. He even has the scar, right, from the old, like previous films.
So which I don't know. That's not the T-Rex from the first movie, right?
It is. It is supposed to be the T-Rex.
So how is it on that island? Did they move it, I guess? Airlifted it?
Maybe the T-Rex they took off during Lost World was a different T-Rex. They don't kill that.
Yeah, because
T-Rex.
That was the second island in the second movie.
Yeah, but I thought
this island was the island from part two.
No, this is the island part
from
one.
Part one.
Because
oh, okay,
they
then
even,
it would still be there.
Because remember, there's even the scene where they get the Jeeps. That's at the old headquarters.
Okay.
So that's
gotcha.
The first island. The second movie is the second island where it was like their staging island where they birthed all of them on that island and then moved them over to the actual like museum zoo part of the island. They kind of retconned that from the first one where you see the eggs being hatched, but then the whole reason for the second island was because that's where they're actually born and capped, and that's where the aviary is and all that kind of jazz.
Right. Okay.
So. Yeah. I think maybe. I guess I have mixed feelings about the raptors, but maybe the raptors. I don't know if I'm really buying the training of the raptors situation or the weird kind of fraught relationship that Owen has with the raptors.
I think the initial training with the feeding, I don't like the clicky thing that they use for dogs.
That was terrible.
Every time he used it, I was
clicking too much. You're only supposed to click once.
Yeah. Well, even that, and I'm like, that's for dogs. I know something about that annoyed me a little bit, but not really a major thing. But actually the scene where the guy falls in and he goes in and he kind of does the iconic hold them off with his hands. And then at the right moment, he jumps out of the cage and they leap to attack. I thought that was about the realistic level of danger to training, right? Like they kind of... The animals were kind of like, oh, I don't know. But as soon as he turns and flees, they go instinct, right?
Yeah.
Where it becomes a problem for me is later in the movie where Blue is just
they're
like fully...
a motorcycle together?
Yeah, and riding the motorcycles
Blue's on
together.
His back, being like, let's go there.
They Blue bromance, you know, and they go and have a drink together. But the whole subplot with Blue at the end coming in to save and like... To me, that felt stupid. Like, I think their instincts would kick in a lot harder, especially in the way they've established them.
Especially because, like, that dino comes in and it's just like, I'm the alpha now. And you're like, oh, okay, he's the alpha now, not Chris Pratt. And then, like, oh, no, Chris Pratt's the alpha again.
Yeah.
He's done nothing to earn that.
It is a little wonky. That said, I did watch this with my younger kids this time, and my daughter was 100% in on Blue. She was like, is that Blue? Every time there was a raptor on the screen, is that Blue? Oh, it hurt Blue! You know, like she was like super, super into it. So I guess in that way, what they were trying to establish there with Blue as a continuous character throughout the three films worked, you know, like it worked for her as a kid. And realistically, aren't these movies kind of like, they're for us, but they're also for kids, right? So,
yeah.
I thought those cages they kept the raptors in was really stupid. That just
the
didn't
Hannibal
make a
Lecter
lot of sense.
Cages?
Yeah, where you're like, well, how are they going to eat? When do you feed them? How do you get them into the cage and
what's
into
the
that thing?
Point
like,
of I, those, though?
Like, it was so weird to me.
I guess maybe the only reason I can see those having a purpose is for like veterinarian needs, right? You get them in there and you can look in their eyes and their teeth and not worry about losing any fingers. But other than that, I don't know why they're always in those.
Right. And how do they get them in and out of those? Like,
yeah, they're not walking into that. Like they're not like, yeah, cool. Let me go muzzle myself.
Right. Yeah. Good call. Which, okay. Leads us to another part that is heinously stupid in this movie. Like I said, I enjoyed the movie, but there were some parts that really pissed me off. Vincent D'Onofrio's character in this movie is the biggest fucking idiot on the planet.
Oh, like, but he's the only one that actually makes sense. He's like, we should be killing these dinosaurs.
He makes sense.
Well, Chris Pratt
in that
says that
way,
too.
In that way, he makes sense. But his plan to use... like the murder dinosaurs and set them free on the island full of people to prove that they can kill the other murder dinosaur with no like, and then at the piece of the plan that's missing is the, and then we'll catch them, you know, like that's the piece of the plan that's missing. It's like, we're just going to set these murder dinosaurs free. They're going to find this other dinosaur and we'll shoot it with guns. The end, you know,
field test, time for a field test, man.
With like
that
like,
being said, I love Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, like, I do too.
His character is maybe not the smartest, but he's slimy in this, and like he's so everything he's doing, I buy out of him though.
Yeah, his motivation is the best out of all of the characters. He's being paid under the table to protect the Dr. Wu and get, you know, I get what he's about. I understand exactly what he's about. I don't get what like half these characters are like their motivation for anything is.
Oh yeah, I understand what he's doing. It's just that he has a very surface level knowledge of how this whole thing works. Right. Oh, yeah. Like he's watched
very
one
ignorant.
One demo of how the raptors kind of respond to training. Like, at the very least, you can say the training for these raptors is in early days. Like, they are not...
I agree.
They are not ready to go on military
missions.
And Owen
even kind of says that. He's like, this is not necessarily a great idea.
Right. Like, it's like if you were training dolphins and you got to the point where they don't kill you. Right? These dolphins are going to not kill me, but I don't have them jumping out of the water and eating fish yet. Right? Like, that's
I don't think
where
he's
they
gotten
are.
There. I like, again, that early scene where the guy falls in and he gets in there and he has to hold them off, that's very tense.
Yeah.
And that is like a proper reverence for how dangerous those animals are. And in that scene, I think that they would eat him. Just at some point, they'd get hungry. And it's like the people that raise... You know, big cats.
Big cats. Big cats.
At some point, that big cat, and this is even more than that to me. Like, the temperament of these is so much different than big cats.
Yeah,
so
at some point,
I think
that
eventually
big cat's
he would just
bite
get
your head
eaten.
And drag you off a stage. Yeah, 100%. And so
well, the
Vincent
other thing...
D'Onofrio, like, thinking that he can take this very untamed wild force and use it for his own benefit. I mean, he's being an idiot. I'm sorry. Like, it's dumb. Like, he is being stupid. And so I understand his motivation and what he's trying to achieve and all of that, but that doesn't make him a smart character, right? He's an idiot. And, of course, he pays for his idiocy by getting chomped and having, like, very quickly proving with his own failed, like, snapping his fingers.
Well, he needs
raptor.
Chris Pratt. Like, right, his plan relies on Chris Pratt doing exactly what he wants Chris Pratt to do. Right? Because Chris... Pratt's character is the only one that's done anything with these raptors. He's the one that needs, you know, so like, here's our plan. And then you're like, well, now we need Chris Pratt.
Right.
And he doesn't
Chris
even
Pratt
try.
Agrees to go along with it. He says, with or without you, this is happening. I'd be like, fine, do
without
it without me. Good fucking
luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, that's true. Because they would just turn around and eat whoever they happen
to
be
with.
Well,
Chris Pratt's partner ends up hiding in that log. And, you know, he saves him by, you know, pulling Blue or whoever away from him.
That was Blue, I think, too. Or was it Echo? So, I don't remember, but yeah.
So, like, even the second in command guy was going to get eaten. So it had to have been Chris Pratt the whole time. It's always Chris Pratt.
I agree. So what? I think that's pretty much it, unless you guys have anything in your notes you want to cover.
I already ranted about all the things I wanted
to rant about. The only
thing
that really bothered me was when he cut that gasoline line and then pours the gas all over him. And then he's just like walking around smelling like gas the rest of the day.
For the rest of the day.
Like he walks into the control room. You're like, this guy has to smell like just straight ass.
Bro.
Like.
Okay. A, that would work in that context. I think that's very smart and the right thing to do. But I use the word girl on maintenance. I've had gas get on my shirt. You can't leave it there. It burns and it irritates you. He needed to get in the shower immediately after that. He can't keep walking around covered in gasoline with his clothes saturated like that. And I'm talking, I got a little bit on my back or whatever.
Yeah, he
and
bathed
like,
in that shit.
It burns so bad. I agree. Like, he needed to go get cleaned up. After the gasoline thing. Genius in the moment. Because they're not going to smell human over that gas. And that gas is going to smell foul to whatever tries to eat him. But he absolutely needed to clean up.
The other thing that triggered me was Claire getting so mad about those dead dinosaurs that her and Chris Pratt were looking at. But she was told... And at that point, there had been like... I don't know, 24 people, humans who had died.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, this dinosaur's dying. I'm watching its light. It closes its eyes and then dies. Oh, no, we have to do something about this. We can't let these dinosaurs keep dying. Like, you've killed human lives at this point. You sent a whole team to their death. But, like,
and nobody, like, when that happens, nobody's like, oh, shit, we just killed all those guys. Like, nobody
they had acknowledges kids.
It. Like, they have the whole alien scene with the heartbeat snuffing out on the screens, you know?
Yeah.
And then afterwards, it's not even really acknowledged. Like, no one even was like, well, that plan went foul. You know, they just kind of move on from there. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I'm remembering, so I wanted to talk about the comic relief guy in the head, the sort of operating room there. But I reminded of Vincent D'Onofrio always in that guy's personal space. I thought was a great running gag where he'd get right up in his ear, drink his Pepsi, and like he's like, I know that guy, right? The guy who's just overly friendly and can't read anybody's social tells, their body language. He's just like, look at this. Oh, dinosaurs. I really found that funny.
I think the two like main office people in there, I thought they were pretty good for like their comedic relief. Especially when he like tries to kiss her goodbye. I found that, I chuckled at that. I found it kind of stupid where he's just like reading the signals incorrectly. She's like, I have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't talk about
what
like,
signals were
work,
there,
man. Like, what do you want from me? Like,
in the theater, that got a huge like pop. Everybody was like that because in that moment, we all thought, oh, he's going to kiss her. And then that subversion is really great. And it happened to that guy who's such a nerd. And, you know, I agree.
Yeah, he's awesome. Jake Johnson. Either of you guys watched
New Lauren
Girl?
Lapkus
he's great in New Girl. He's great.
He's so funny. Yeah, and I recently rewatched the trailer for Let's Be Cops, which is like a movie with him and Damon Wayans Jr., which is also really funny. Just like, that's a funny dude. Like, he is always fun. Oh, he's the voice of Spider-Man in
Into
the Multiverse. Whatever. Yeah, the Spider-Verse. Yeah. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
And she's Lauren Lapkus, who is an improvising sort of almost royalty at this point in the improv scene. If you're like me and you listen to a lot of improv podcasts, you're no stranger to her.
She's in Orange is the New Black, too, as one of the guards. She is really good in that, too.
Yeah.
Which is a little more of a serious role for her, but she was really good in that because her character has a crazy arc in that show.
She is. I totally forgot.
She's the one that, spoiler alert, the death of a character is on her hands.
Right, right.
Yeah. Much like Claire.
Much like Claire. Well, Claire's way worse. I don't know. Claire's like Enron levels. Like, she's really, really bad. She's really bad.
I've heard 50-50 out of all three of us, I think. There are parts we enjoyed. There are parts we hated. So on the Eric rating scale of thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle, slightly cocked up or down, where do you guys put Jurassic World?
I'm going to go slightly cocked up. As much as I was bitching about everybody and everything in this movie, I did have fun with it. Like, it's a fun movie. I think the dinosaurs are well done. They brought back Phil Tippett. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he is a stop motion guy from back in the Star Wars days. Like, he did like the Tauntauns and all that. And he kind of like was part of the team that did the original Jurassic Park. Like, he was originally going to do the whole thing in stop motion before they decided that the computers could handle it. But they created this cool system of like robots, and he would do the stop motion on the robots, and then the computers would fill in, you know, like around it. So he's responsible for like the actual dino performances, you know, like how they behave and how they move and so on. And so I always like really appreciate that guy's work. If you want to know more about him, check out that Light and Magic show on Disney Plus. It's about the history of ILM. It's like 6 episodes. It was done by Lawrence Kasdan, who is like, he was real big, like wrote Empire Strikes Back and stuff. Great show. Fantastic show about like the history of special effects. And it gets into Jurassic Park and how they did that and stuff. But anyhow, bottom line, like, there's more that I do appreciate about the movie than stuff that I want to bitch about. So.
Yeah, I would have, my first time, I would have cocked it sideways. But I'm going to go up. I'm going to cock it upwards slightly. Not quite like at a 45 degree angle up there, but I liked it way more than I thought I was going to watch it. Yeah, it's almost like it's out of five, and we're just going. We're
being
going with hand signals
around
instead.
It. Yeah,
yeah, no, it's great. I love that's the best part. Yeah, so yeah, as I do on our wrestling podcast, 4 point.
Yeah,
I don't know,
2.83.
2.8. Yeah, I love it because I know it drives you insane. I love it. So yeah, this is like a out of five, probably like a 4.26.
There
so,
you go.
You know.
Yeah, I'm about the same. Like I think overall, it's a good fun. Romp summer movie, you know, I saw it in theaters, didn't regret spending my $10, and it was entertaining enough on the rewatch. The problem was the movie I watched for my other movie podcast that I'd not seen before, and it blew my balls off. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. Tune into that feed to find out what that is.
Well,
no, it's a
us.
Quiet Place.
Yeah. Bleep it out. Bleep it out. Do that in the editing.
A Quiet Place.
Do the extra work. Oh, wow, that's the first time you've seen that.
Oh, it's really
good. It's a banger. Yeah, it's a banger.
It's one of my favorite movies. Now, anyway, so are things going to get better from here? I haven't seen these next two movies. Have you guys seen them?
I've only seen the second one of these.
The
I've
Fallen
not seen
Kingdom?
The third one. No, I've that's the third one, right? What's the third one called?
Dominion.
Dominion.
Fallen Kingdom is number two. Dominion's number three. I've seen them all. So, okay, we're going to reconvene in 2 weeks for Fallen Kingdom, right? I also think, as part of Fallen Kingdom, extra homework.
We watch Velocipaster. Oh, no.
No.
I would
I love
do that.
Velocipaster. I love it. I watched it. I thought it was great. Super funny. No, there is a YouTube short film that they produced in between Jurassic World and Fallen Kingdom. And it's just a quick, like, 10-minute thing. And I'll find the name of it and Slack it to you guys. But it's...
Slack?
Sorry. Whatever. We're on Discord. Whatever. And it's about a family in a campground camping, and a dinosaur shows up. And it was, like, an official Jurassic Park production as, like, a lead-in to the next movie. And well worth a look, like super worth watching.
I often think when watching this, you know, someone said, I don't remember who it was, it might have been the director, but someone had said that Jurassic Park is not a series that can be franchised. And we've seen that mostly because of the diminishing returns in quality of the films. But I often wonder, like, why doesn't someone make a smaller story, right?
They
like
did.
Marvel
Camp Cretaceous, right? I mean,
well,
that's
not what I mean. I'm in the movies, like, you know, because like Marvel, you always have the big epic, and even Marvel sometimes kind of annoys me, or like everything is the end of the world, right, on every movie, no matter what. But I think sometimes you could do a smaller story, like an Into the Spider-Verse, and how good that story
Werewolf
is.
Werewolf by Night, they did that with Marvel, which was like
and I just
crazy.
Like, why not a smaller dinosaur story, you know? Where maybe it's, I would love to see an R-rated horror movie where they're just running away from raptors. You know? But
yeah, well, maybe now that they're through this trilogy, I don't think there's any plan going forward. I'm glad you brought up Camp Cretaceous because I think that, I mean, it is a pretty cool show until it isn't. But the idea behind it is very clever. Like, it takes place in the background of this Jurassic World movie. And these kids are going to Camp Cretaceous, which is like a little summer camp, which is on the island, right? But they're isolated. And so they don't know what's happening at all. And so they wake up in the morning. All this shit has happened. The island is abandoned. Everybody's gone.
They
on
left
boats.
The
and
kids.
They left the kids. They left the kids. And so the kids are just on Jurassic World in the abandoned park trying to survive, you know, with all the dinosaurs running around freely. And it's a hoot. Like, it is actually a pretty good little cartoon. Like I said, until it kind of goes off the rails in the last season, but whatever. Yeah. So anyhow, sidebar on that.
Yeah. I'm not watching that anyway. It's just a time thing. I got too much I'm doing. Understood. I got three podcasts currently. Speaking of which, if you want to hear more from Elliot.
Yeah, you can check out the 10-week pro wrestling crash course. Probably should have came up with a much catchier, shorter title, but that's my fault.
That's not your fault.
Oh, look, I show up. That's the best part of podcasting now, since I don't do one with my wife, is that I just show up, hit the record button, clap, and then just say stupid shit. It's fantastic.
Yep. You can check out that podcast. You can also find them on Twitter at @alien_rights. Gaming Nexus, a place we often talk about here on the pod, where you can find both Eric and Elliot's written reviews of video games. Eric_Hotter on Twitter. You can follow the pod at Spielberg Chrono on Twitter. You can check out the Movie Draft House, is my other movie pod, where you can hear my eventual review of A Quiet Place, a film much better than this. And we will see you next week. Oh yeah, well, what are we watching next week? Big fucking gun. What is it?
Oh yeah,
BFG.
BFG is next week.
I'm excited to hear that one.
Is it BFG?
I think it is BFG. Yeah,
I'm gonna.
Yeah, because he did a string of the computer ones for a while, right?
Eric says it's not actually an animated film.
I don't really think it's. I don't really think it is.
Either. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a big. That's a Roald Dahl book, right? BFG is a Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I think so. Like Matilda, Charlie Chocolate Factory. I think BFG was one of them. I had a big phase when I was, in my 20s where I read a lot of Roald Dahl.
Yeah, it's definitely BFG next. So we'll be back next week, Eric and I, for BFG. Elliot will be back in 2 weeks, and we'll keep watching these damn dinosaur movies.
Yay. Bye, y'all.